and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, I'm really glad you've chosen to join us. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day from all of us here on Detroit Today. Each year here on the show, we commemorate this day by playing Dr. King's original I Have a Dream speech, which was delivered here in Detroit in June of 1963, several months before the address in Washington. But first, we always welcome someone on the show who is helping to both preserve the memory of Dr. King and forward his vision for America, as well as to make us think a little harder about what his legacy means for our nation in the present moment. We've been through so much in the past few years, including some very serious and difficult conversations about race, inequality, and police brutality. My guest today has a new book, which looks at those themes through the lens of democracy, ruminating on them through a series of letters that are addressed to Dr. King himself. Dr. Randall Jelks is a professor of African and African-American Studies and American Studies at the University of Kansas, and he is the author of the book Letters to Martin, Meditations on Democracy in Black America. Dr. Jelks, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen, for that introduction, and thank you for having me on Detroit Today.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So I always start with this question with authors, and it's always because I'm very curious about where ideas come from. But I'm especially eager to hear the answer, your answer to this question, which is what inspired you to write this book and especially to come up with this form, these really, really engaging and incisive letters to Dr. Martin Luther King about the things that we are facing today, more than 50 years after his death?
Well, Stephen, the original idea came, he was giving a talk, a Martin Luther King Day talk at Elmhurst University in Chicago. It used to be called Elmhurst College. And in that talk, I was invited like a couple of days after Donald Trump was inaugurated. And I thought I needed to give young people some hope, and I sort of crafted this speech as a letter to Dr. King. And then I decided, well, after the speech and the students seemed to appreciate the words, that I would choose to think about writing this as a book. And that's what I did.
And this idea of writing the letters to Dr. King and using this democracy lens that you chose to filter these letters through. Talk about how you put all of that together in the formation of the book.
Well, you know, my reading of Martin Luther King is as a radical Democrat, that he is fighting for the inclusion of all Americans, but particularly Black Americans, first throughout the South, and then Chicago, and as you mentioned earlier, Detroit, and all over the country. And he becomes a powerful voice for that kind of democratic inclusion into the society. And I think we often miss King as this radical Democrat all the time. And so I wanted to bring that viewpoint. In point of fact, I would argue that Dr. King's radical democracy is part and parcel coming out of Black America. And I read a lot of scholars about democracy, but they don't mention Black America. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, this is clearly somebody who is shaped by all the institutions of Black America, from Morehouse College to Black Baptist churches. And so I wanted to get that voice out in new ways that might relate to people today.
Yeah. So the text that you use to inspire these letters is Dr. King's letter from Birmingham jail. And I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about that document how important it was and why it is such a significant part of his contribution to, as you point out, the discussion about democracy, but also to the idea of the radical democracy that you are talking about. A letter from a Birmingham jail reads very differently from I Have a Dream, for instance, although there are parts of I Have a Dream that really echo, I think, things that you would see in Letter from a Birmingham Jail as well. But talk just a little bit about that letter that he wrote and why it's so important.
Yes, that letter is so important because he's sitting alone in solitary confinement, really, and he has to find magazine, toilet paper, whatever he can to write that letter on. And he's reflecting to his fellow clergy in Birmingham about what they call moderation, we might call indifference to the struggle for democracy and their unwillingness to be out there and risk on behalf of people who are struggling to create a better world by which we might all live. So that letter is his fullest, perhaps his fullest theological statement about what he believes in the equality of human beings, what he believes is the calling of him as a Baptist clergy. It is still, every time I read it and every time I have students read it, it still is most powerful. Now, one doesn't have to share his theological assumptions to see how great a document it is on questions of human rights and the ability to protest for right. It is, as to me, as important as the Constitution by which we argue by in the United States. So it's just a stunning document, and one coming from a place of depth and a place of struggle.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the letters in the book and how you chose their subjects. How do you start on something like this? How do you figure out, well, what are the letters that that we would want to have in this collection written to Dr. King?
Well, I very much they're eclectic because they come from my own thinking and reflections, and I really was thinking about the constant struggles that Black Americans are in, and so I wanted to write a letter about leadership and the pains that leadership actually causes people. I think everybody likes to say, "Oh, somebody's in the leader," but the difficulty of that. What's the meaning for someone like King to sacrifice? And then what are the kind of personal dimensions of democracy, even when it comes to familial life, family life, relations, intimacy? And so all of those questions came. And, you know, I'm a professor, and I deal a lot with 18-year-olds, and so I was trying to keep always those 18-year-olds in my head of what they might be thinking about, what are the new questions they might want to know, and try to address a generation that will follow me. You know, I'm born in 1956. I'm a boomer, but you know, I wanted something that they could think about for the future and enter into dialogue with Gen Zs and millennials and whoever else is coming.
Mm. So I also wonder what the experience was like for you, this practice of writing these letters. What did that uncover for you about what these issues mean to you as a Black man in America today? And I guess I'm curious as to whether this exercise comes with any surprises or revelations for you.
Well, you know, I mean, what came for me is the sort of trying to look squarely at the world around and to go into some place where trying to be as honest as I could. Seeing a world change. So, for instance, when Dr. King started out, there was all these African independence movements, and today there are a variety of African countries, 52, I think off the top of my head. And now what are the new things that they're facing? Mm-hmm. When Dr. King was alive, China was still had finished the revolution there, and now China is a powerful country of state capitalism and having a deep influence on the African continent. So I was thinking about all of those things that young people will face in the future, and these are questions all around us. But still, democracy has a meaning, and governments must be transparent, and we must hold governments accountable, and we must protect people from genocide, and we must protect them from discriminatory voter practices everywhere, mm-hmm. because that's a practice that goes all over the world.
Yeah. I'm talking with Dr. Randall Jelks. He is professor of African and African-American studies and American studies at the University of Kansas. He's also the author of the book Letters to Martin, Meditations on Democracy in Black America. We are talking with him as part of our annual celebration of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday here on Detroit Today. In a little bit, you are going to hear, as you do each year, Dr. King's original I Have a Dream speech, which was delivered here in Detroit in June of 1963, just a few months ahead of the delivery at the March on Washington. Dr. Jelks, I want to talk a little about Dr. King's legacy and what it looks like and feels like today. As I said in the open for this conversation, we've had a pretty rough go of it in terms of racial inequality, the push for racial equality, and the tensions that exist between those of us who want America to be fairer and more inclusive and those who are resistant to that. Dr. King's message, I think, has meant different things to African Americans at different times. It's proven its value over time that way, I think. But I would love to hear you talk about what his message really means and how it really resonates in the light of things like George Floyd in Minneapolis or Ahmaud Arbery, these really horrific instances of violence against Black Americans that we still see, sometimes at the hands of police, sometimes at the hands of ordinary citizens. What should we be drawing from Dr. King right now?
Well, first of all, we should draw strength and power from the legacy of Dr. King. I think that we too often, on the global stage, people look to Black America for solutions to democratic questions, and that's a power that we have. I've taught in the Czech Republic. I've taught in West Africa. I've taught in Germany, and I have students coming to me always interested in the power and strength of Black America. And teaching in the Czech Republic, I had lots of conversations with people who are Roma, we pejoratively called gypsies, and they looked to Black America as a model for gaining their rights throughout a multitude of countries where they live and are discriminated against. So I think that Dr. King's legacy is a powerful one. The instances of racial injustices and the horrendous murders of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, who grew up in Grand Rapids before moving to Louisville, George Floyd. Those are a continuation. Those are continuations of the brutality that the dominant society has exercised. But that's changing. What is driving this is that the demographics of the United States is changing and has changed. And they're like I would say similar to, I want to put this internationally, similar to Brazil, you have a tiny white minority trying to keep dominance over a pluralistic majority, and black and brown and Asian and so forth. And so this violence is seen, is given to and projected onto those people. But the power Black America has, and this is what Dr. King means, is that we have a global stage now, and we have to exercise that. And the last thing I want to add is that the lessons of nonviolence is something Black America has to exercise within our own community. And that means by to one another. And I think that's crucial to say. We still see the instance of Detroit, Chicago, wherever, of the rise of violence within Black communities, and we have to now learn to exercise nonviolence to one another. So this message is still powerful, still relevant, and still hopeful.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Randall Jalks, professor at the University of Kansas and author of the really wonderful book, Letters to Martin, Meditations on Democracy in Black America. It was really great to have you here with us on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to observe our annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day tradition here on Detroit Today. We'll listen to Dr. King's original I Have a Dream speech given here in Detroit in June of 1963. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.